This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I'm back.
When they come, and they will, they'll come for you.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
When I left you, our ultimate Marvel host were but the learners. But now, I give you Jack Sutherland and Ronnie Darin, the Masters.
Why, thank you, Vader. It is episode number 9. We're 1 away from 10, and then 90 away from 100.
That's right. Or we could just renumber, whatever.
Right. And we're talking Marvel TV shows this week.
That's right. We're not going to try to figure out how to fix the Marvel universe in the comic books.
No, we're not. But I do. I did so want to like give a pick of the week.
Okay.
Because it's like the most unlikely pick of the week. I wonder if you know what it is. Because
last week.
Yeah, it's actually from last week. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's fine. What? And I probably could guess because.
Go for it.
Your pick of the week is Rocket Raccoon.
Ah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
I know how much you dug it, and I actually dug it a lot, too.
Did you? You read it?
Yeah.
Number 3?
Yeah.
Have you been reading it before this?
Yeah. Since the whatever episode we talked about it.
Okay.
Editor's Note, episode 7, or something like that. I don't know, but...
Yeah. I think Matthew Rosenberg is the guy who's writing this. And I still think he's going to be a star.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not like the Rocket books of old, if that makes sense. Or of lately,
well,
I guess.
It's not lame like the Rocket books of recently. Well,
yeah, like, it's still a fun book,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not like a overly fun book where there's stuff happening just to have stuff happen, I guess. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Well, no, I think he did. He sort of accomplished what those... I mean, when I've read Rocket Raccoon in the recent past, I felt like this is what they were trying to do. But it was just always sort of lame. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to spend money on this. But I thoroughly enjoyed number 3.
And yeah.
And I think I get it because, like, if you've read some of his Black Mask stuff, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
he writes for Black Mask, a really tiny publisher, also, and all his stuff there has been really good. It's really creative and witty, and it's just written in a way that I'm not used to. I think he's like one of the wittiest writers I've read in a while.
Yep, I agree.
And this issue was like super clever.
Like, I almost wanted him to like take on like a different character to see what he'll do with it.
Well, he got Kingpin.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, you know, one of the core characters, maybe.
Right. Well, I think it's like sort of stepping stones because he's still new. He's still really green.
Right. The training wheels are still on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have Kingpin sitting here. I got it late because I was going to read it digitally, and I had a hard time getting a copy of it for stupid reasons that I won't go into. So I wound up just going and buying it today when I picked up my other books. So I don't even... Have you read it?
I have not.
Okay, so we're in the same boat then. But I've heard it's really good. So I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, that's not what we came to talk about.
That's right. Enough of that comic talk.
Enough of that raccoon talk. I will mention really quickly the trade contest because I now have the books in my hand, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, like almost 15. And some of these are nice. They're not just trades. Some of them are really nice hardcovers. And we're giving them away to anybody that leaves a review on iTunes for us. And then email us your address at our email address, which, what is it?
It is ultimatemarvelpodcast@gmail.com.
Cool.
Or just throw us a comment in the at Ultimate Marvel Pod on Twitter machine.
Yeah. Get in contact with us. But we're talking TV shows today, man.
Yeah, but... which is ironic because there's a new casting, right?
Yeah. Good timing.
Yeah.
It was just announced today, I think, that they've cast Medusa for the upcoming Inhuman show. And the actress, who I don't really know a lot about, but her name is Serinda Swan.
Yes, she's pretty easy on the eyes.
They always are. You can't be a female superhero and not be easy on the eyes.
She was on Smallville, right?
Right. She was Zatanna on Smallville, on like three episodes of Smallville.
Yeah.
I don't really remember that well though. It was only three episodes, so.
Yeah, I don't really remember either, but I saw that, and you know that's a DC show, and we're talking Marvel shows, so.
Right. We're not talking lame shows.
Yeah. And since we recorded last, they also cast Black Bolt too.
Yeah. Which I do know something about him. They cast Anson Mount, which is, he was on Hell on Wheels.
And he was Bohannon, right?
Yep. Yeah, the main character.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. I think he'll make a good Black Bolt because that character was sort of mean and tough, but he wasn't like a man of a lot of words.
Right.
Which Black Bolt clearly isn't. And I'm really curious how they do Black Bolt on TV since he doesn't really have a speaking role.
Yeah, we were texting back and forth when he got cast, and I don't think it came across very good when I said that it's not who I would have picked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, this guy sucks.
No. That's not who I would have envisioned.
Right.
And I couldn't give you an answer of who I had envisioned to play it, you know, because I don't really like fan casting all that much either.
Yeah.
But, and then, like, the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, Jack was pretty spot on your analysis about, you know, Hell on Wheels and with Black Bolt. So it's kind of like they're pulling out the Netflix treatment for a network show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you, like, rub off the sort of Western, rough Western country, you know, parts of that character, I think I can see it as Black Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to cut his hair.
Well, yeah.
And then we mentioned before that they cast Maximus.
Maximus, yeah.
The dude from Game of Thrones, which is awesome. He might steal the show because he's good.
Yeah. But that whole interaction right there, like those are the three, I would say probably the three big pieces.
Oh, yeah.
That needed to be put on the table.
Right. Yeah. I guess, yeah. Everybody else that they cast would just be side. Those will be the main people getting screen time.
Yeah. And maybe Karnak, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, he might not even make it first season. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, who knows? How about the dog? What's the dog's name?
Lockjaw?
Yeah, Lockjaw. The humongous dog.
How can you forget the dog's name?
I don't know. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You sure? It's heavy stuff.
It is.
So I'm going worst to last. And I'm starting with one that I thought was the worst Marvel show currently airing right now until the last episode. And I think you probably still think it's the worst, but Legion.
Yeah. That's my least also. But see, and some of these can be interchangeable for me.
For sure.
But that one started off in a rough patch for me, so.
Now, have you watched episode 3?
Yep.
Did you like it more?
Yes.
Me too.
Especially like the last like 8 minutes of it.
So that's what you've got out of the three shows so far. One which was like a 2-hour episode. I liked the last 8 minutes of the third one.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, the last eight minutes of the last episode, like, really turned it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I liked it from the premiere and even the second episode. It just, I went in closed-minded, I guess.
Right.
Instead of open mind, like, okay. And then that's why I think my frustration in venting last episode about how clearly it's not a part of anything.
Yeah.
Where I should have just, like with Gotham, for example. You know what I mean? If you went into that thinking it was going to be like the comic books or whatever, you'd go in hating it as to where it's its own thing, even though it uses the characters or whatever, and throw the mythos and everything that you've read out the window, then Gotham's pretty awesome.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that because I'm not super familiar with Legion. He's a little bit of a fringe character, at least from my experience, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he hasn't been... What has he been in lately? Like, I can't think of anything.
He hasn't been in hardly anything lately.
Have you read a lot of him in the past?
I wouldn't say a lot. And what I have read, I really don't remember. You know what I mean? If you would have started talking about it, then stuff would have started clicking and... Oh, yeah, I remember that. But nothing really that I read really stood out and be like, oh, I got to remember that.
Yeah. Now, isn't he the son of
Professor X?
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which makes sense that he would be this super powerful mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his pedigree. But but I guess that's not the case in this show, right? Because it's a little bit disconnected.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be connected to like the X-Men universe.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's this crazy as he is in the show and he has no idea that he has these powers, I would think if you were Professor X's son, you would at least be suspicious. That when things start moving around, that, okay, hey, maybe I have powers like all these other mutants. But he's clueless in the show.
I know, like, Daryl or Nick might tweet us, or even Mike might tweet us, or me, because I might get this wrong. But
right.
I think
we're both out of our element, I think, with this character.
Yeah. I think in the comic, if I remember correctly, like, Professor X, because he was so... quote unquote crazy. He was kind of Professor X kind of like not disowned him, but kind of like hid him from everybody else.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, you know, didn't really want anything to do with him. And then I think that Legion's thing was, you know, as Professor X's side was, his redemption quality was to start his own school and help other mutants.
Right.
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 And he thought that that's how he could right his wrong.
Yeah.
As to where Legion took it the other way. And he wasted all of his father time on people that weren't even related and pushed him away or buried him.
Yeah.
No, well, not literally buried him, but.
Well, the other thing, though, is this. This show has a very retro feel to it. Did you notice that? Like everything, I mean, the way people look and the colors used, it looks very like 70s-ish almost.
Yeah, I was going to say 80s, but yeah, you're probably 70s, 80s-ish.
Yeah. So if it did take place, it would maybe precede the X-Men universe.
Right.
Perhaps. I don't know if it even ties in at all.
Yeah, like Days of Future Past style.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the producer of it, Noah Hawley, is also produced Fargo, which has been super successful. Yeah. Won an Emmy, actually, for Outstanding Miniseries. And I think it's been nominated a bunch of times, too.
Yeah.
So my issue with this, the first two episodes, which I liked watching it, but I quickly sort of fell into this trap where I was sort of like, okay, I don't really know what's going on, and everything's kind of cool and trippy, but after a while that sort of gets old, and I need a story that's more concrete. So I felt like episode 3, though, did that. Episode 3 kind of was concrete. Okay, now I see what's going on. I see where we're going. We have, like, a plot and a mission.
It started connecting the dots.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's going to be like through the rest of the season. But I loved, at that point, at episode 3, I was like, I really super enjoyed it. So it went from sort of a, okay, this is cool, kind of bottoming out, to, okay, this is really awesome for me.
I can see that.
And I think, me personally, I would have put it ahead. Because of episode 3, I might have bumped it ahead of the next one I'm going to mention.
This is where we differ.
Yeah, this is where we're differ. Well, we differed somewhere else also, but we'll get to that later. Yeah. Let's rank it. How would you rank Legion?
Like on the Netflix scale?
On our typical Aftershock Central / UM Ultimate Marvel podcast ranking scale, which is 0 to 5. 1 to 5. I guess you can't give 0.
Probably as a whole on all 3 episodes.
Yep.
Probably a 2.5. To 2.75, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a bottom. That's what I expected. I think I'd say 3.5.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be really good from here on out.
Well, I think we'll see. Well, yeah, I hope. And like I said, the last like 8 to 10 minutes of the last episode, you know, pumped it up and started connecting the dots even more. And
yeah.
So. Yeah.
So that's number 5, because there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows, right, that are active.
Until later this month.
Agent Carter dropped off. It got canceled, and Inhumans hasn't started yet, and Iron Fist hasn't started yet. Defenders is coming up, so we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about down the road. But
yeah, Iron Fist starts soon, doesn't it?
It does. We're going to have to podcast about that.
Yep.
Number 4, though, is Jessica Jones, which you had.
I had Luke Cage.
Yeah, and I didn't know how to. I was going to put Jessica Jones last, so I figured a compromise. I'd put it 4th.
Oh, you're crazy!
And the reason I was going to put it last is because it just started off like really slow for me, let me preface this by saying, like, I thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed it. But out of the 5, I think I enjoyed it less because it started off really slow. And for me, like, about midway through is when it got really interesting. And at that point, like, I love the villain, Kilgrave, played by
David Tennant.
Yeah, yes. I think he was one of the best villains in the entire MCU.
I totally agree, and that's why it's ranked higher for me.
Yeah,
he's so good.
He was great, but he was in the beginning, but he wasn't in it a lot. I don't think he really set the tone until later in the series. And also, this was the follow up show to Daredevil season 1, right? Which,
yeah,
to me, Daredevil set the bar really high, and this just, when I watched it, I was expecting the same thing, and it let me down, at least the first half of the show.
So you went in with the Ronin complex and the closed mind part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to be like you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it. That's not a good thing sometimes. I think that's why I put Luke Cage there. There was tons of stuff that I liked on Luke Cage. Like, I love the music.
Right.
I love the culture part of it. But I think, for me, overall, those 13 episodes, there were more dragging episodes than not dragging episodes.
Huh. Interesting. I'm going to change our order up then and do Luke Cage next, since we're already contrasting the two.
Okay.
But tell me, what did you think about Jessica Jones?
Like you said, two words. David Tennant. totally stole the show. Even, like you said, when he wasn't there, like screen time wise.
Yeah.
And his voiceovers were there. Amazing.
Right.
And like my, I know this sounds like crazy and dark or whatever, but when he walked into that apartment with the family there.
Yeah.
And he made the little girl go to the closet.
Right.
And then you saw the urine come out from under the door. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And he is a villain. And I, like you said, I didn't really care for the ending too much. You know what I mean?
Right.
The stuff that everybody hacks on. Like, well, why didn't she have earplugs before? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the build up to it. I mean, how many times has there been like a super huge hyped up build up and then you had an awesome climax?
Right.
Instead of, you know, a fizzle or whatnot.
Yeah.
And not everything has to have a huge climax. But yeah. I totally loved Jessica Jones, and I ranked Jessica Jones number 2.
Yeah, you did. And here I'm putting it at 4.
No, that's fine. I mean, that, like I said earlier, right. That's why we podcast.
Now, speaking of David Tennant, because we're going to get to Daredevil, which everybody loves, so it's not a surprise where it might fall in this ranking. But Wilson Fisk was awesome also.
Yes.
Does it seem like the Netflix villains have been better than the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe to this point?
I agree. I totally agree.
Like, what other villains have even seemed significant? I can't think of one.
But I guess in the retro Devil's Advocate argument of that is where you have 13 hours to flesh out the villain. That's where you only have 2 hours of, or 2.5 hours of screen time.
Right.
On the movie.
Yeah.
But with that being said, you know, you got to keep villains alive in the movie. So that way maybe they show up in the sequel.
Yeah.
But, so that's what makes me worried about Thanos though.
Okay.
Because he's been pimped and pimped and pimped. And then when he finally gets on screen, is he going to live up to the hype?
Yeah.
Or is it going to fall short?
Well, that's where I'm hoping all this, what we're talking about changes. I'm hoping that Thanos really, he needs to steal that movie.
Yeah,
because
right.
They haven't had, I mean, usually, like if you watch like the Joker, if you watch DC stuff, you expect the Joker, like the old DC movie, the old Batman movies, the Joker, like, always stole the show, right?
Right.
Marvel Agreed. Hasn't had a character even come close to being able to do that, so I hope Thanos can.
Well, see, and that's what I was saying, is, like, I think that Kingpin and Kilgrave, Purple Man, stole the show.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And, like, we'll transition to Cage, I guess? Because is that next on your list, or did you have it higher? Oh, you had it higher, didn't you?
No, but I'm putting it there now.
Okay.
I'm making a hole in the spot. I'm calling it audible. So, but what's your Jessica Jones rating?
My Jessica Jones is number 2.
I know, but what's your ranking?
Oh, my ranking on it?
Yeah, you gave 2.5 to Legion.
Yeah. Jessica Jones to me is like a solid 4.
Okay.
Because of everything included. Like the emotional stuff, the suspense stuff, and then David Tennant as a solid villain.
Yeah.
The different, I mean, there's some aspects of the Marvel stuff that are alike. Like, you can tell that the formula is the same as to where other things change.
Right.
Like, you know, in a Netflix series, we're going to have a fight scene in a closed environment. Whether it's down the hallway or upstairs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think that really changed from Daredevil, say. So yeah. That's why I give it a 4 or 5.
I gave it a 3.0, right in the middle. That's not bad, though.
No, it's not.
It's not a bad
If we're selection. Netflix, that means you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I liked it. But I'm trying to rank it with all this other stuff. And to me, it just kind of bottomed out compared to the other stuff. Okay. So, sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying about Luke Cage?
That's why I think Luke Cage fell short for me, because I don't think the villain...
For sure.
And I know that people are going to disagree with me. Mm-mm. But
I know where you're going. It's a good point.
I don't think the villain was as solid as the villains from Daredevil or even Kilgrave from Jessica Jones.
Right.
Maybe he's fleshed out, yes, because, you know, we got his backstory and, you know, there wasn't enough.
Now, which villain are you talking about, though? Because there was three. Are you talking about Black Mariah, Cottonmouth, or Diamondback?
See, and the whole time, okay, I'll give you my answer, and then I'll ask you the question.
Okay.
I still think, even though I've watched these Netflix series twice, mm-hmm. each season I've watched twice, Cottonmouth, to me, is the main villain. Even though Black Mariah and Diamondback are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Cottonmouth, to me, came across as the main villain.
Right. No, I'm totally with you. I mean, he's not the main villain because he got killed. But he was the best villain, for sure, in my opinion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like... I looked at him as the main threat.
Right.
As not the other two, even though they were supposed to be the main villains.
Yeah. Diamondback, to be honest, I didn't even care for. Black Mariah, I know they want her to be the main villain because of the comics, that she's sort of a core in the comics.
Right.
And she needs to she can't be killed off right at the beginning. But I felt like Cottonmouth really, as far as all the villains go, he's the one that really captured your attention.
Right.
So when he kind of got, I do feel like that was sort of a lull in the show. That when he got killed and what we were left with was Diamondback and Black Mariah was a little bit of a letdown. Yeah. They weren't at the same level as him.
Because some of the best episodes were him and Luke.
Oh yeah.
Going back and forth. Even like when he comes into the barbershop and Luke's there the next, because the night before he just came up to him, you know, in the VIP part of the thing, and they're just a little banner right there when Luke's sweeping the floor.
Yeah.
So if there was more of that, or if they made Cottonmouth like the main villain through the whole season one, and we got sprinkled in with Black Mariah, like she was behind it all or whatever to lead to season two, I think it might have done better.
Yeah.
Or I would have ranked it better, I guess.
Yeah. And he's a great, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Mahershala Ali.
Sounds good. I butcher names all the time, so.
Yeah, we all do. That's every podcast butchers names. But he's a great actor. Now, they also had the other guy, his sort of protege that was working with him. That was a villain. But he got killed too, didn't he?
Shades,
yep.
Yeah.
And he, and to be honest, he was better than Black Mariah and Diamondback.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And he was like just, I don't want to say a one-off villain or a sidekick or whatever, but
yeah,
I was more invested in those two characters than the villains that they wanted me to be invested in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I totally agree with you, and it's making me sort of second-guess my ranking.
But what is your overall ranking of it?
Well, I gave it a 4.0, and here's the thing. Like, I love the sort of style that this had, this like street-level fighting, and like seeing bullets bounce off of a guy, it was just awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't watch Supergirl, do you?
I sure don't.
So she gets in, she has a bullet shot at her like every episode. And whoever directs Supergirl, I don't even know who it is, but they need to watch Luke Cage and like take notes. Because when Supergirl takes a bullet, like it's just corny. She's all like smiley and like, oh, now how we know how that's not going to work. But like when Luke Cage takes a bullet, like he's not playing around. Like he'll grab the gun and bend the barrel, and then like the rest of the episode, he's sporting a jacket with like bullet holes.
Yeah.
I just thought that was extremely awesome.
Yeah.
But also like the 90s hip hop soundtrack, I thought was a perfect fit, perfect, and gave like the whole thing the perfect attitude that it needed.
Right.
So I really enjoyed it, but you make a compelling point about the villains.
Well, I gave it a 3.
Hey, we didn't ask for Lockjaw's opinion.
Did I not hit mute in time? I gave it a 3. Just because of that.
Yeah.
The villain part. But it had more slow episodes than it had good episodes for me, I think.
Yeah.
But like you said, I love the Easter eggs that it had, or the tie-in stuff that it had. Like right. The moments with Claire. Because, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't love Claire, right?
Yeah, Claire really... This is the show where she had a lot of screen time. And where right. You started to see, okay, she's going to be the glue that holds the Defenders together. The Netflix yeah. universe, Marvel universe, yeah. is going to be centered around her. Daredevil, the first season, they had no idea how successful it was going to be. I remember reading about that, and they thought it might just be a sort of one-off show where they throw out an episode, a season, and that's it. They right, had yeah. no idea it was going to turn into this huge universe, street-level yeah. Marvel universe.
Right.
So you can tell by the point they get to Luke Cage, it's like, okay, we get it now, what this is going to become, and we can start putting all these Easter eggs in. Because they didn't really exist that much prior to Luke Cage.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, obviously Luke Cage is a part of Jessica Jones, too, and her story. But I think that's why one of the reasons why we got him introduced into Jessica Jones, too.
Yeah.
Because maybe Jessica Jones is going to be a flop and not get a season 2.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is our number 2.
Yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. is definitely our number 2.
Now, do you think it deserves a number 2 rating?
In mine, I put it at number 3.
Yeah.
Because...
I had it at number 3, too.
You had it at number 3?
I did.
Because, to me, I thought that Jessica Jones hit harder, and the whole aspect of it, as to where S.H.I.E.L.D., has the issue that I have with Luke Cage.
Right.
Like, the half of the first season, to me, was mediocre until that one episode where Winter Soldier came out in theaters, and then it tied in with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And then, for
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s,
me, like...
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been a lot more connected to the movies.
Yeah.
For
and
sure.
To me, I wasn't too great on the Inhuman stuff.
Right. See, I thought the Inhuman stuff was really cool.
Well, I mean, I liked it. It was just good television. It wasn't must watch on live. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I have no problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. being number 2 in this list based mm-hmm. on what's going on right now in this season.
Yeah,
because I think this season is great, but based on like the first half of season 1, I would have it dead last. So
true.
So I gave this a 4.0. If it was just like this season, I might give it even a 5. But this LMD story run for me has just been amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that.
So you never know what you're going to get because the seasons, like the first season started slow and the other seasons have sort of been kind of up and down. So because of that, I'm bumping it down to a 4.0 because for all I know, next season might be might not be this good if it, you know, continues the pace it's been on.
Right. I'm giving it a 3.5. Just because, like, some of the things, it's had its good and bad moments, and it seems like they've been equal as to where,
yeah,
like with Luke Cage or like with Legion, there was, to me, there was more slow spots than there were good spots.
Right. You want to go to number one?
Let's go to number one. What started the whole Netflix thing?
Right. Where it all started. Daredevil.
Now here's a question.
Go for it.
What's 1A and what's 1B?
What's 1A and what? Oh, what do you mean?
For season wise, because this is the only one that we've had two seasons of.
So for me, season one of Daredevil was awesome. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is what I want to see more of, and they gave us more of it. Season two raised the bar even higher.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
The Punisher was awesome.
Yeah. And hopefully, rumor and innuendo is that they're going to do a Punisher series too. Yeah. So.
Oh man, there's so much they can do with this universe they've created.
Yeah.
John Bernthal. So you watch The Walking Dead?
Yes.
And you saw him in The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
And he was awesome. This is, and that's why I think someone like Maximus is going to be awesome in Inhumans, because you've already sort of grown to like love or hate that character based on those previous roles and those other shows. And with him, you already saw The Walking Dead, so you already knew he was kind of that, what kind of personality he had, and it just, it rolled perfectly into Punisher. When you see a familiar face in a good show, it makes it even better, in my opinion.
Well, that, and, you know, like, for example, like with Doctor Who, all the past Doctors, with like David Tennant, for example.
Yeah. Man, I never could get into Doctor Who.
Well, I know. Well, not everybody has,
people love it, man. It's just one of those shows where I wanted to like it because so many people love it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get into it for some reason.
Even the David Tennant series?
I don't know if I saw him or not.
Okay.
I only watched a little bit of it. I don't even remember now which season I watched, because there's been like 1,000 of them, has there?
Well, yeah, but I mean, since the relaunch in 2005. Because right. Eccleston did the first one, and then Tennant took over for 2 or 3 seasons, and then Matt Smith did, and then now we're on Peter Capaldi. But
yeah.
But my point is, like, typecasting, right?
Yeah.
So, like, with John Bernthal, where we saw him in The Walking Dead as Shane, where he's this crazy guy, or not, maybe not crazy, but at least has alternative motives that he thinks is right.
Right.
So then when he got cast as Punisher, we're like, whoa, we could totally see how that's going to work.
Yeah.
Definitely. As to where, and just like you said, with Maximus getting cast, you know, we already seen what he did in Game of Thrones. So it's kind of like the same thing, you know?
Definitely.
Now, there's always those curveballs, you know, but...
Right. Yeah. And we already mentioned Wilson Fisk, but he was an awesome villain in Daredevil.
Right. Same way, though, that's like with Charlie Cox, you know? I don't know if you watched Boardwalk Empire or not.
I did. Was he in that?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it early on. Was he on it early? The first couple seasons?
Yeah, he was Owen.
Ah, wow.
Yeah. So he was what's her name's love interest?
Yeah.
In it.
Wow, you're right. I totally see it now. I didn't make the connection, but.
So like his demeanor or personality, say in Boardwalk Empire, is kind of like. in Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the things I always loved about Daredevil as a character is that, like, the fact that he's blind, it mm-hmm. forces the writer to always rely on other senses. So there's also all, you know, the radar that he can sort of see things, and like an enhanced sense of sound, and he's all, you know, he's able to sense people coming by his sense of smell or whatever.
Right.
His other senses are super enhanced because he's blind.
Right.
I always enjoy reading that in the comics. Like it kind of stretches you a little bit intellectually. And I was mm-hmm. the first season they sort of emphasized that also. Like I remember him being in a fight scene and they emphasized like the sound of a chain
right.
smacking a pole or something. Which you would right, never think yeah. anything about, but they emphasized it in that because he was blind, and I felt like that tied really well into what I like about the comics.
Totally agree. Because, and even like, I don't know, like the one of the best episodes was, well, of course, you know, the what started it all was the whole hallway fight scene that everybody the internet shut down because everybody was talking about it.
Right. But now like, everybody has to redo it.
Yeah, and, right.
And every
but
show.
Like even like there he saw maybe that's where the chain was. I mean, and then like somebody like dragging the bat across the wall.
Right.
Even
yeah.
And then the vibrations sometimes.
Right.
As to where we actually get to see as him or unsee yeah. as him, rather.
Yeah, because that's Daredevil. To me, when I think of Daredevil, I think of him sitting on the top of a building in Hell's Kitchen, just listening out into the city,
yep.
listening to all the drama and everything that's going on, waiting for something to kind of tip him off.
Right. Like the whole, like, it's almost like sonar.
Yep, exactly. So I'm giving it a solid 5.0 because it set the standard for these Netflix shows, and then it mm-hmm. raised the bar. So everything I watch on Netflix, I'm comparing to Daredevil. So I have to give it a 5.0.
Yep, I'm going to have to give it a 5.0 too.
Cool.
Because, well, I mean...
We agree on one show out of five.
Well, we agreed on two.
Did we?
Legion. Well, we were agreed yeah. on the well, number we didn't, one we didn't and have number this, five.
Right, but we didn't have the same ranking. I think
well,
I,
yeah, that's true.
And I think I had Legion above Jessica Jones. So
did you?
Yeah. But I changed the order because I knew you had it so low.
Oh, well. I'm glad I can use my Legion power to...
Your super mutant powers. So next up... Soon we'll be talking about Iron Fist, and mm-hmm. So I guess the way it's going to happen is Iron Fist is coming out soon.
Yeah, in like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, really? Is it that soon?
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist.
It's this month, I think.
Yeah, you're right. It's in March, March 17th.
Yeah, and today's the first.
Yep, and then we'll get Inhumans, and then Defenders after that is what I think. We don't have a date for either one of those yet, but I'm assuming. Right. It'll go in that order. And I'm really looking forward to Inhumans because of all this, all the casting. And they're going to feature it in IMAX, which I'm definitely going to be there. Hopefully it's, I guess if it's, you know, it's TV rating, so I can take my kids. Or at least right. my older kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be there.
You'll have to report on that.
You're not going?
I don't have an IMAX theater close to me.
What?
Like the closest one is in St. Louis or Kansas City, and that's like 2.5 hours.
What? Oh, you need to show your commitment and travel 2.5 hours to go see this.
I don't know.
Cool, man. So you want to wrap it up?
Sure. Vader gonna wrap it up for us. Everybody's missing Vader.
How are they?
Where's Vader been? Everybody loves Vader. Everybody's supposed to hate Vader. I hate Vader because he talks trash on me, but...
Oh, you hate me? Let me tell you something, Ronnie.
The Force is definitely not strong with you, my friend.
What do they reach us at?
You are at Jack Sutherland on the Twitter machine. I'm at Rombar316. The show is at Ultimate Marvel Pod. Email is ultimatemarvelpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget the contest.
Don't forget to leave us iTunes review or follow us on Twitter and reach out to us. And you could win one of these awesome hardcovers.
And we're going to make it to the end of this month. How about that? For the first one.
Sounds good. Good talking to you, man. Until next time.
Till next time.